Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week on the show, joining us back in the Monkey House, it's the host of the Do Go On and Book Cheat podcasts, it's the book chook himself, Mr. Dave Warnocky.
Hey all, great to be here with you on this fantastic podcast day.
Oh, thank you so much, it's so great to have you. We very rarely do daytime podcasts.
I was just thinking, that's why I said fantastic. I was going to say fantastic morning, but I thought that's going to time this too much. But anyway, yeah, it's true. We rarely pod in the morning.
It's, yeah, we both have to set an alarm and it is 11 a.m. Yeah,
it did sound like are you podcasting at 5:30, 6 a.m.? No. Okay.
It's yeah, we're just sneaking in lunchtime. Technically still the a.m., so that's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I've just had my breakfast. For the earliest I've had it this week, I reckon. I had it yesterday. I had a PM breakfast, which is no good. I'm all out of whack.
Okay, but the question is, did you have the same breakfast for the PM yesterday as the AM today, or does it depend on when you're eating?
No, I always have the same breakfast. I normally settle into something for a little while, and at the moment it's oats and milk. Of course, with a cup of Earl Grey tea.
Oh, of course, but that doesn't matter what time of day it is, does it?
It's always Earl Grey time somewhere in the world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. I do know what you mean.
So we're talking today about a show that you love.
It's called
The X-Files.
Yes.
Is it one of your favourites?
I would put it up there in probably my... Oh, it's hard to say because you're going to ask now, but probably a top five ever show for me.
Oh, so you're not quite sure if it makes the old... what's the president's wall in America?
The Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, the honorable make mention.
The Mount Rushmore. I'm trying to get that up as a catchphrase of mine. I know everyone says it already, but I think it's so funny when people say, yeah, that'd be on my Mount Rushmore of toiletry bags, you know, like any sort of random. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of the spreads. Yeah, that's on my Mount Rushmore of spreads. Vegemite for sure. Definitely.
It's pretty good, but it's not on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, I wouldn't spend hundreds of hours carving a rock face into the shape of a Vegemite jar, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's no jam or marmalade. Yeah. That's a character I was playing. Obviously, it is better than jam and marmalade.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not a maniac. All right, quickly, Mount Rushmore of spreads, Vegemite, peanut butter crunchy.
Okay. Peanut butter smooth.
Peanut butter smooth.
Thank goodness. You have to have it there.
And, of course, Promite.
Not a lot of
variety, to be honest, but...
I reckon I would have had just a block of butter there.
Block of butter. Spreadable.
Spreadable. And also, to be honest, it's much easier to carve just a block than it is to carve a jar.
That's true. That's smart. So that's a time saver. Imagine having to, like, chip out the lettering of Vegemite. What a pain in the ass. Or crunchy. But I guess the good thing about the two peanut butters is you've already got the template done.
Yeah, so, that's right.
So then one of them you just knock out. Crunchy on top.
Or you could just write smooth/crunchy on it and people would get it. You give yourself an extra spot then.
That's smart. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, just say peanut butter brackets. In general,
In general, whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever's preference is.
Whatever's going.
Crunchy's number one, though. I'm sorry. But I make no apologies for that.
Now, my mind's been ticking away here, and I've been thinking about, actually, I reckon X-Files would be on the Mount Rushmore.
Great.
I think
else have you got on there?
My the faces OC. Would be, I'd have, yeah, Sandy Cohen from the OC. No, I'd have Homer Simpson's face.
Yeah.
Hercule Poirot's face.
Oh, yes.
I'd have Dr. Mark Sloan, played by Dick Van Dyke on Diagnosis Murder's face.
Oh, that's in your four.
Top four. And then I would also have Dana Scully from the X-Files.
Wow. Dana's your favourite character on the X-Files? Yeah, or just most carvable face?
Yeah, most carvable face. No, she's great. Really.
And this year's most carvable face goes to... Drum roll, please.
What about if you were such a big fan of Gilligan's Island, all four were from Gilligan's Island and the rest?
And the rest.
They didn't make it.
That's not bad. Yeah, I wonder what my... Mount Rushmore would be. That's a tricky one. I think Simpsons would have to be on there. Maybe Seinfeld as well. That's sort of the two.
Oh yeah, honorable mention.
Comedies. Poirot, you've really got me into Poirot. I love it. It's a real happy place show for me.
I love it.
But I'd have to think more about it. Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I like David Duchovny's other big show. Californication, or I really
I never really gave it a go. I really really should, because I mean I did just say I love Dana Scully, but I do love the Fox.
Yeah,
Mr. Mulder.
Does his acting improve, or is this the character in the X-Files? He's sort of just a bit wooden, and that's all part of the fun.
Yeah, but then like sometimes there's these like silly little things that he says. Like, did you notice in the episode we're talking about today, which I don't know, have you introduced that yet?
So we're talking about the X-Files, and in particular, the most monkey episode that I've seen so far, which is called, it's the last episode of season one, it's called the Erlenmeyer Mask.
Flask.
Oh my goodness, flask. It quite clearly says flask.
Yeah, no, that's right. Did you notice, and this is something, because I haven't watched X-Files.
It's like the Glasgow kiss. The Erlenmeyer mask is when you bottle someone in the face.
Okay. Is the flask when you do it with a flask?
The flask is when you do it with a flask.
You know, people have like a small gun taped to their ankle. You whip out a flask taped to the ankle and just start beating someone over the head. Yeah.
So the Erlenmeyer flask is a certain kind of scientific flask.
Is that
I've never heard of it before, but it's like a... I guess it's sort of like a beaker or one of that sort of thing.
Oh, well, that makes sense, because that actually is quite integral to the episode.
Yes. The thing that the monkey pisses in, or arguably monkey piss, that is an Erlenmeyer flask, I believe.
That is very true.
We're probably going to get some budding boffins messaging in saying, oh, actually, that is not quite true.
That's a beaker, huh?
I was on in the local paper as a kid. Went on an excursion we're in primary school, went to a high school, and the science department there taught us about science using bubbles. So we had to make our own bubble machines, and that was the project beforehand, and I had forgotten about it, so I just grabbed a coat hanger and made a big loop out of it. And I made the biggest bubbles by far.
Seriously?
So I got in the paper, because I made the biggest looking bubbles, and then the photographer picked a couple of girls who I think he picked them because he thought they were cute or something, because their bubble things were not that good.
Oh, come on, mate.
You know, it needs to be more than that. You want to sell issues of your paper with cute primary school kids? Look, I'm casting aspersions there. That's allegedly...
Yeah, of course, just in case.
But anyway, I remember the headline was Budding Boffins, and I had no idea what that meant. So that's why I said that weird phrase just then. But it means aspiring scientists, I think. But
so, Budding Boffins. So that's two words that are pretty close to the word bubble, but he didn't say it either time. Yeah. Budding Bubbles?
I would have said Bubbing Bubbles, for sure. That would have been my headline. Anyway, what were we talking about? So... this episode is the last one of the first season, and I've only just started watching the second season. Quite enjoyed the first season. You reckon the second season's even better?
Yeah, I reckon it sort of finds its fair. I still enjoy the first season, and I think even towards the end of the first season, it starts to get a bit more you know, they find out what's going on a bit more. And then the second season's got probably two or three of my favourite episodes for the whole run.
Right. Well, how would you explain the show in general for people who don't know it?
Right. So, basically, The X-Files is like, it's a couple of budding boffins who have been put together, if you will. Well, The X-Files, it's a department that focuses on unexplainable, basically mysteries and crimes related to the unexplained. So it might be alien stuff, or it might be vampires or werewolves or ghosts or things like that. And basically, they are the original odd couple that have been put together. Fox Mulder, believes in everything. And then Dana Scully, who is a medical doctor, but also an FBI agent. And she's been pushed into the department to keep an eye on him, basically. But over the run, she gets less skeptical, only slightly. But they become very, very close as they investigate the paranormal together.
And they really, they say it a few times, even very early. After, mustn't have known each other that long, but they're the only one that each other trusts.
That's right.
They say that a bit. And I'm like, it doesn't sound like you trust him, Scully. You keep going. Every time he has a theory, you're like, Mulder, are you sure that that happened here and not in your head up here?
Yeah, she really does sort of.
She said that go, about his, because he's okay? He, one of the early storylines, I imagine this runs through the whole series, is that we find out that his sister was abducted by aliens.
That's right, Samantha.
And it's not like we're not thinking, did she really or not? It's like they show footage of it. It definitely happened. This isn't a world where it's unsure. This is a world where aliens exist and they've come to Earth a lot. And the government know about it. This is like a show where the conspiracy theories that you hear about, they're all real pretty much.
Yes, but having said that, Dana Scully is still very skeptical.
Yes.
About
even
that.
Though she sees proof of it most weeks.
Yes. And I'm afraid that is one of the sort of frustrating parts as the show goes on. Like even in this episode, which is in the first season, and there's about seven or eight more to go after this, she says to Mulder, look, when he's told her about, oh, I think there's something in this case, which we'll talk about in a second. But she even does say, look, Mulder, I wanted to apologize to you. You were right. I should have listened. And you think, oh, this is the start of her changing her tune about these kind of things. But no. No matter how much she sees over the next 8 years, she never truly believes.
It's got to be. I mean, this is obviously just something that the writers need. They think they need her character to be the skeptic the whole way through. But I just don't know if it's that necessary.
Yeah.
We all know it's real. So it's sort of, and can't it be like their boss or someone who has it and the bosses change over or something. There must be another way of using that device of having the skeptic involved without having it in such an unbelievable way that someone who sees proof on a regular basis remains a skeptic. It's got to be scientific, Mulder. It's like, what is science? It's figuring out unknown stuff, you know, and Mulder's done that. It becomes science. You've seen proof. What is science? It's like she's talking about science from our world where none of this stuff is proven, but is in the world where it is all, like, evidence is mounting up all the time, even though the public don't really know about it, I guess.
That's true. But even in this episode, a fellow medical doctor who's like a DNA expert analyzes some DNA, which at first we think could be monkey pee, but then it turns out to not be.
What's the classic line?
If this turns out to be monkey pee, Mulder,
you're on your own.
So that's that's what's in the Erlenmeyer flask, and she gets it examined, and then a fellow doctor who's a DNA expert says to her, oh my god, in DNA there's only four types of thing building blocks that stuff's made of in known humanity, but this has six, and it blows her mind.
That's big. And for a trouble, that doctor gets knocked off before the end of the episode.
Yeah, we never see her again.
Probably by the government, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, some black ops.
Oh, man. Yeah, those sort of things are interesting as well. Why do people get knocked off all the time for knowing too much, but never Mulder and Scully? And I wonder if it's because they're the two main characters.
Yeah. Well, even they're like inside informant, known only as Deep Throat, who's a big part of season one and the ongoing storyline. Even he says to Scully, Mulder's too high profile. That's why they won't kill. Because he gets captured by these Black Ops guys. He says, too high profile. But yeah. Really, I think you're right. It's because he's too high profile in that he is the main character on this show that is starting to rate pretty well.
Yeah. I definitely did not buy that line at all. So that does not make sense. I kind of like how they try to explain it. Or maybe I would have preferred them not to. Or had found a reason that would have made more sense.
I mean, these are people that I don't... This isn't really spoiled too much. In the future, it turns out that they were involved with the JFK assassination. Right. And if he's not too high profile, but Mulder is, I don't get that.
Yeah, they say... Yeah, there's another time, maybe in season two, where someone says... we can't kill him. So, in the second season, the Smoking Man. So the Smoking Man's this mysterious guy in the first season who's always in the background of the office of Scully and Mulder's bosses. He's in the room, I think, when Scully gets the job of teaming up with Mulder. And we don't really know what he is, but we find out towards the end of the first season and the second season that he's one of the ones probably trying to cover things up. He's from higher up and... We don't know who he's working for or whatever, but he put someone on to work with Mulder who's basically reporting. He's basically a spy for him. And that guy asks the Smoking Man, why don't we just kill him? and the Smoking Man says something like, if we kill him, it'll make... It made it sound like he was saying that it would make his followers fanatical.
Yeah, something like
a martyr sort of thing.
Others will be in his place or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if that's true. If he is, so he's so brilliant that he's the one they're worried about finding out the truth, but they can't kill him because someone else will take his place. Well, you know, it doesn't. Anyway, there's something I catch myself doing a bit when I'm watching a far out show like this, is I'll question some of the logic to it. And it's like, you're watching a show about aliens and guys who piss green and stuff.
Last week there was a man who could like set fire to a building with his mind and you weren't questioning that.
No. But the logic of this doesn't quite add up to me. The fire mind man, for sure.
Yeah, of course, that makes sense. We all get it.
No doubt about that. Or the humanoid, it basically like a leech, a human leech. Humanoid leech, and the FBI didn't just kill it because it had killed so many people. The FBI goes, we're gonna send it across town for psychological evaluation. I'm going, what are you doing? Kill this leech, man. It's a monster. It knows nothing but killing. And they're treating it like, it's so strange. They'll knock off their own operatives, but not this monster.
Yeah, they want, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Anyway, but it broke out of the... It went across town in a truck with one man driving. It killed that man and escaped into a toilet where it liked to live. So The X-Files, cool show. A lot of good stuff going on.
But I wanted to ask you. So there's two types of episodes. There's the mythology episodes, which explore the overarching story relating to Fox's... abducted sister, the existence of aliens, people like the Smoking Man trying to cover up all the cover-ups, basically exploring that. And then there's also what's called Monster of the Week episodes,
yeah,
where they have like Mulder will fly out to New Jersey to investigate the Jersey Devil, or he'll, you know, go to something in Tennessee and there's like something going on where people are disappearing. So, and then we find out that it is just one monster, and by the end of the 45 minute episode, it's all wrapped up.
They're what more do like you... the Poirot episodes.
Yeah, but what
there's a mystery and the geniuses solve it by the end.
Yeah, but what do you prefer? Do you find the Monster of the Week ones, which can be a bit more humorous sometimes? Some are serious, yeah, but then other ones are like really, really silly.
More or humorous, but also more satisfying because they conclude.
Yes.
Whereas the arc ones are, what did you call them? The
mythology episodes.
It depends on the episode. I think, as a general rule, if I was just going to watch one episode, I'd prefer to watch a Monster of the Week one because it is it's an entire piece.
Yeah.
Start, middle, and end. Whereas the other ones can feel a bit unsatisfying at the end sometimes. I'd say at this stage, because I haven't got through the overarching story too far, because I'm only at the start of season two, I'd have to go with Monster of the Week. But I imagine looking back, and a lot of the fans that I've spoken to, they prefer the mythology episodes because I guess because they know where it leads to, which is giving me hope that it's going to be worthwhile sticking at.
Well, I don't want to sway that opinion one way or the other, so I just won't say anything. Okay. But
because you don't want to be the one where in a year's time I've finished the new episodes and I'm like, Dave, that was not worth my time. You dogged me there. Yeah, the Jersey episode was another one that could have been. That's a bit of a primate-y episode. They called it like a missing link, which I know is not a real thing. A scientist once pulled me up on that. Apparently, I called them missing links at some point on this show, and there is no such thing as a missing link because that's not how evolution works. But that's kind of idea that it's they've evolved differently, and it's more like it's come off a different branch, you know, back in evolution some point, and they have evolved slightly differently. But it's an ape, you know, like us, like a great ape. But this one, didn't they pulled livers right out of humans' bodies? I don't know what kind of ape does that, but still. Or am I mixing up with that other liver guy? There's this character who loved livers. He was a real slivery guy.
Oh, yeah.
Did he also like
licking newspaper and then making a nest out of the news? That was, I think it's called Squeeze, that one.
Yes. That's a classic. In a couple episodes. He came back because they arrested him, but he got let out later. Spoiler alert. Obviously, lots of spoils here today. So anyway, I guess let's talk about the episode we watched. Great. Can you explain it to me? Because this was a mythology episode. And the monkeys came into it because there were lab monkeys. And I'll start it off. You've watched it more recently than me, so you'll be able to fill it in a bit. But it starts with a car chase. A guy's on the run. He gets cornered by the cops. And then he doesn't stop when they ask him to. He runs off and he jumps into the sea. He's been shot and he clearly bleeds some sort of translucent green gloopy blood, and he gets into the sea, but he never resurfaces and they can't find him at first, at least.
Yep.
We don't know anything about these guys up until this point, right?
No, I don't think we've seen this character before. And then basically Mulder gets a tip off from Deep Throat, who's sort of like a mysterious guy who obviously has knowledge of lots of things. And I think in a previous episode, he told Mulder that he's one of only three people that's ever executed an alien. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So he's obviously, if he's telling the truth, he's very high up. He's on the inside. He often has these little leads for Mulder, but sometimes they're a bit intangible. And Mulder's like, what does this mean? Just tell me.
Yeah.
But he calls up Mulder and says, hey, turn on Channel 8 and watch the news. And it's a news report about a man running away from the cops and disappearing into the ocean. Right. And that leads Mulder onto the case, and he brings Scully in. As, of course, she's skeptical. She's like, why are we even here, man? Why are we even here?
Scully, there must be an episode somewhere where she goes, you know what? I'm going to go with you today, Mulder.
Don't hold your breath.
Not a single episode. Like, couldn't they do an episode where she bumped her head and she wakes up believing and it goes away again?
That's the kind of thing they actually do. They do little explore stuff like that on the show. They actually do, yeah.
Right. Don't know if that's good or bad. So Mulder then, he's sort of on the scent now. Deep Throat's got him in there. I find Deep Throat an interesting character. I really like the actor. I think he's great. But
is he from other stuff?
I was looking him up before. His name is Jerry Harden, and he looks like he's still kicking. He was born in 1929, so that makes him 90, right?
Yeah,
1991.
He's for me, he's just this amazing mixture of like former U.S. presidents.
Yeah, he's got Nixon hair.
Nixon, and then he also looks a bit like. What's your mate that loves nachos on The Simpsons?
Gerald Ford.
He looks like, and then Gerald Ford mixed together. I reckon those two would become this man's face.
Right.
I think that.
I mean, he's just, if you look at his IMDb, he's just been on every TV show. Just a workhorse sort of character actor.
And are you a fan of The Office, the US one with Steve Carell?
I haven't really seen it, no.
Right, but I just wanted to say...
I imagine I probably would like it.
I did not realise this, but his daughter is Melora Hardin, who is Jan Levinson, who's one of Steve Carell's, Michael Scott's love interests on the show and his former manager. So,
right.
There you go. She's currently starring on The Bold Type for people that are bolder than I.
So I think that makes them sort of like a power family.
I believe so.
Check out some of these names. I'm just flicking through. He was on Who's the Boss, LA Law, Quantum Leap, Star Trek The Next Generation, Picket Fences, Mad About You, Lois and Clark.
Wow.
Melrose Place, Star Trek Voyager, A Streetcar Named Desire, Murphy Brown, Secrets of the Bermuda Triangle, Murder, She Wrote, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Man, if he was on Diagnosis Murder, this would be a dream come true.
Ally McBeal, Jag. Like, all these shows are big hit shows. Caroline in the City. Crossing Jordan. I'm just going through the ones I've heard of. Cold Case. The Middle.
Wow. Just,
what was the show you wanted to know?
Diagnosis Murder.
No, unfortunately not.
Damn.
He was Every show. I mean, there was no room for him. It was only for Dick Barry and Shane, played all the male roles. Dick Barry and Shane Van Dyke. What a family. They're actually, the Hardins and the Van Dykes are massive rivals.
Trying to be the most dominant in Hollywood. Yeah.
Who's the most dominant TV Hollywood family? Well, the Van Dykes have got you, at least on that show. I think Hardin might have more credits than the Van Dykes combined, though.
But no Diagnosis Murder credit, really, for me, means no respect.
No, that's right. This show's going on a hiatus after a couple of more weeks, Dave. But if we ever come back, we got to find out if there is a monkey in Diagnosis Murder.
There must have been. They did so many weird, wacky plots on there. There's whole episodes where Dick Van Dyke plays 5 of his own elderly relatives, Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor style.
he beat the clumps to it.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very
clumps
funny.
Or clumps? Either way.
I think in Australia it was the clumps, or overseas maybe the clumps.
Yeah, the clump. They weren't sure our market would understand the clumps.
What a clump.
So they made us the clumps, or vice versa. Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've got to figure that out. And we've all, obviously, one day we're going to do our podcast, Diagnosis Podcast. It's going to be big.
Definitely. And then when that's over, Pod Bro, the episodes of Poirot, analyzed in detail.
I would love to do both of those so much. Feels like all we need is for you to stop working your full-time job and we can make these dreams a reality.
All right. That's the only thing stopping us.
Yeah. It's quite a commitment because Poirot lasted for decades.
Such a good show, though.
Yeah. What was it called? Poircast.
There are a few possibles. Poircast, Podrow, which obviously looks like Pod Rot written down. So
and it's a bit of fun for us. Like a Skid Row thing.
Yeah.
The albums of Skid Row, Podrow.
Maybe we could alternate week to week, one episode of Poirot, then an album Skid Row.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can forget all those classic Skid Row albums? Or songs. I can't think of a single song at the moment.
Murder on the Orient Express. Is that one of theirs?
That is one of theirs, yes. Yeah. Agatha Christie. Yeah. She's a Babe and Bitch. That's probably... imagine that's kind of work they did. Babe and Bitch. The 80s was a different time. They said words like babin'. And we can't go back. We've got to keep looking forward. So there's this splugy man, has blue splooge. Not blue splooge, sorry, blue blood. He's a blue blood.
Well, it's green blood and blue splooge.
Yes. They don't know. The blue splooge is implied. They never actually show it.
Yeah.
So he's on the case now, and he's slowly trying to track them down. What's the what it looks like monkey piss that Scully tests.
So what's Mulder has tracked down a doctor who's secretly carrying out experiments because that the man that was running away, the green blood bleeding man, was driving a car that they traced back to this guy called Dr. Berube. And who's when they visit him, he's like, he doesn't seem to care about, they tell him, oh, your car was associated with a crime. And he's like, I don't care. I'm so focused on my work. My work is very important. And then his work is basically a room full of, what is it, apes? I couldn't even tell what type of chimp.
Nah,
I
think
there.
They were chimps.
Were they, yeah, some sort of chimp, were they?
I think they were chimps, even though they called them monkeys. I'm pretty sure they were chimps.
Yeah, right. And then he tells Scully off because she nearly gets her finger bitten. And she goes, oh, sorry, I thought they were friendly. Why would you think that?
That's so funny. What an assumption to make. Why would they be friendly? You've caged them up and are sticking needles in them. I imagine they would not be friendly. And she's a doctor.
She's a doctor.
She should know better. How many patients you've locked in cages that you've perform tests on are happy for you to touch them.
Right. And anyway, they have to leave the Berube guy alone. And then later that night, we again come across Berube, but he is interrupted not by an FBI agent this time, but by a black operative who is commonly referred to as the crew cut man.
Yes. That's us. I noticed him in the credits. He was listed as the crew cut man.
So because there's so many of these mysterious characters and they're so mysterious, they're never named. So you've got the cigarette smoking man who's a recurrent throughout the whole series. Then there's this guy called the crew cut man who's like an assassin of sorts. If you look through, there's other people. I've got a list here. There's the Hispanic man, red-haired man, grey-haired man, the plain-clothed man, dark man / mustache man, take your pick there, and also the black-haired man.
Mustache man. I'd take mustache man. I like alliteration like that.
Yeah, me too. So
do you know the mustache man?
But my favourite of them all... I've
come to a plane.
My favourite of them all is the well-manicured man.
Oh.
That's a go.
Yeah, he's like early... what do they call it? There was a trend in the 2000s called... It was just like men
metros?
Shaving and stuff. Yeah, metrosexuals.
Metrosexual, that was the big thing.
Yeah, what a funny idea. And it was like, it was men who would sort of care about how they look more or something.
Yeah, a bit more hair gel, some skincare products, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I remember at the time, the big thing was wearing a pink polo shirt and popping the collar.
Yeah. Oh, the pop collar. I hate that look for some reason. There's something about it that just makes you look arrogant somehow. I don't know why.
And also, the collar just, it never sat properly. It would always be sagging in one spot. So it just looked a bit silly.
And it makes sense. It's sun smart. But yeah, I don't know why. It's just a funny, maybe it's just the people I knew wore it like that were kind of arrogant pricks. But yeah, it's just a funny old look. And that was big for a while. You still see people like that. They're normally people who want to be rich.
Right.
You know, that's the, I'd call that the aspirational yachtsman look. My dad will do it on occasion. He says it's to protect the sun off his neck. But
I reckon
honestly,
time
I think he wants to be on a yacht.
One of the times I met your dad after one of our live Do Go On shows, he was sporting a yachtsman look. I think he may have had a popped collar and then maybe even the cardigan tied around the shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. Dad. Yeah, he's gone through a few looks over his years. And I think he's forgotten who he is. He's forgotten where he came from. You grew up in Moorabbin, Dad. But, you know, each to his own, okay?
Each to his own.
He does have a few mates who have yachts. Or at least not have yachts, but his brother-in-law goes yachting sometimes, so...
Oh, okay.
I think probably rubbed off on him. Or maybe he's putting the message out. Hey, I'm available. I've got yacht wear ready to go.
Maybe nominate me for the yacht club. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm a real land lover myself.
Me too.
I don't get it. Unless we're talking international waters on a barge.
Me too. Yep.
Which I'm with you. We've got plans of doing it. Do go on out there in international waters where there's no rules.
We could talk about anything.
We could do the reports about topics that we'd only dreamed of before.
That's right. We could expose some of these black operatives, like the crew cut man, the well manicured man. They better watch out.
Yeah, we could say their birth names now.
Mm. And the crazy thing is, we're so high profile in the paranormal investigative world that there's no one would dare kill us.
That he really is very high profile. Like, he's got followers, and we learned that sort of midway through the first season, he's arrested on some sort of army setup where they're cleaning up an alien landing or something, or they're trying to capture this really fast invisible alien, so he's locked up on that site with another guy who's like a conspiracy theorist guy, and he goes, Mulder's surprised that he knows who he is, and he goes, yeah, I follow your work, we know all about it. His community reads everything he ever does, and he knows about Scully and all this sort of stuff, so he's sort of like an underground conspiracy theory celebrity.
Oh, is that part of the... Yeah, and he's also friends with the three guys that make the Lone Gunman magazine?
Yeah, they're fun.
So they're recurring characters. They actually even got their own spin-off show for one series.
Really?
Yeah, which I've watched too.
Surprised that only lasts for one series.
Couldn't believe it.
But that were, yeah, quippy trio sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're good. They're good fun. But back to the episode. So the crew cut man, he rocks up at the same lab where the guy had been experimenting on the chimps. And the next day that man is found dead. And it's clear that the crew cut man has killed him and made it look like a suicide.
Yeah, because he left a note. Crew cut man out.
Yeah, why did he leave his business card? Lots. What's he doing?
Yeah. That's how arrogant he's got. He had his pop collar.
His crew cut?
Yeah. Yeah, the crew cut was the dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
He crew cutted him to death. Like, he just stabbed him to death with a crew cut. The crew cuts are short back and sides, right?
Yeah, like sort of that real army look.
Flat top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Chris Mullins in the Dream Team.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. His look. He looked exactly like that.
So, crew cut man was also a great three-point shooter.
Oh, fantastic. He was part of the big three. And the crew cut man is obviously he's killed him. Scully and Mulder are a bit suspicious. So they find this beaker, or an Erlenmeyer flask, if you will. And it says something on the side. Do you remember what it says? And that ends up being quite important.
It says something on the bottom. And it's a key phrase that they talk about a lot further on. It's two words. What was it? You keep talking, I'll find it.
I'm trying to think of... Oh, purity control. I found it here.
That's it. Yes, that's right.
Purity control. And then Mulder says, Scully, can you analyze this? And she says, if this turns out to be Mulder pee... Mulder pee. If this turns out to be your piss, I'm going to be so... He keeps pranking her by getting her to analyze his urine.
That's so funny. I read somewhere last night that there's an outtake in one of the DVDs or something where they keep rolling on that scene and Mulder goes, it's an acquired taste or something like that.
That is good bit. That's a real Dukov bit, like a real Mulder bit. Did you notice that there's like all these pop culture-y references throughout the show? They're like, I'm sick of this Obi-Wan Kenobi bullshit. And then they're like, the FBI rock up and they're like, oh, I heard you were... And talk to the local police. I heard you were chasing this man because he didn't want to pull over. And the guy's like, well, it's no Silence of the Lambs. And then later on, when Scully's talking to that DNA expert, she's like, we've come a long way since Colonel Mustard with the candlestick. There's all these just like little references that they put in there. I forgot that about the show. They're frequent.
I think the bit that's made me laugh the most so far was in... an episode, I think it was one of the first episodes of it was Blood, an episode you really like.
Oh, I love it.
From the second season. And one of the bodies early on turns up and Mulder's called out to this little town that apparently there's never any murders out there. And he's inspecting one of these bodies. There's been a mini massacre. based on an elevator told this guy to kill. Mm. So he killed all these people. And one of the bodies
That sounds so bizarre. An elevator told people to kill. Anyway.
Well, I think you just got to accept that in this universe. Things get a little bit kooky. So the Mulder's inspecting one of the bodies. Maybe it's even the killer. And the local policeman's like, yeah, this guy, he's not a kind of killing guy. You just never would have expected it, you know? He's a right fielder in the baseball team. He just some throwaway line about him being a right fielder or some position, some whatever the fielding position was. I think it was right field. And Mulder is inspecting the body. He goes, what's wrong with right field? And then the cop keeps telling him more about this guy. He's going off topic. And Mulder goes, right field's an important spot. And the guy keeps talking. And then he comes back to Mulder and goes, you got to have a good arm to play right field. So he's just fully distracted by this baseball throwaway line. The cop's still giving him more information. And then he goes, I played right field.
That's good stuff. That's a good bit. Oh,
fuck, that was good stuff. That was a real good bit. But and it just like it was, that was there for nothing but the laugh, which I liked.
It's very...
And it also advanced the character. We've painted a little bit more of a picture of Mulder. He's a right fieldsman.
Well, I'm wondering if David Duchovny was actually a baseballer, because there's a later episode that was really well received that David Duchovny actually wrote about a baseballer.
Oh.
So, yeah, he would...
Oh, cool.
He wrote a couple episodes. Yeah, and it was it's a really good one. And it's all about a baseball. So I wonder if maybe he is like personally a fan or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'd buy that. Oh, that's cool. Something to look forward to. Baseball episode.
Yeah, no, it's a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway, so back to the episode. This Berube guy's dead. Mulder goes around to his house, breaks in, finds out that the guy that was shot at the start of the episode that's bleeding green, he's actually still alive because he calls Berube and says, hey man, I'm at a payphone, I'm not feeling well. And then Duchovny pretends to be Berube, but also listening in on that conversation outside in an unmarked van using like a device that taps into the phone is the crew cut man.
Yes, and he's across the road in a classic sort of gardener's van or something.
Yeah, I love that.
Love that.
And then Duchovny, how does he find... He finds out something about Zeus refrigeration. He finds out that that's a factory that he has to go and check out.
Oh,
do you remember how he finds out about that?
Is that Deep Throat who tells him?
Oh, maybe he runs into Deep Throat outside his own house saying, what's going on? And then, luckily, Fox Mulder has taken some keys from this dead man's house, Berube. And when he goes to this factory in the middle of nowhere, he goes there and he finds the key to open up this padlock. He opens up the door, and inside the room are five bodies, like life-size adult human bodies, floating in liquid. Sort of like that classic, what you imagine when people are like growing humans out of DNA type thing.
And so they kind of look like big fish tanks, which is probably what they were, I guess.
And one of them even moves, and Mulder's like, oh my God, oh my God. But as he leaves there, the crew cut man and another dude show up, so he has to run away, which is the thing. And then he goes to Scully, hey, you got to see this. This is gonna change everything you believe. After you walk into this room, nothing will hold sacred. And that's when she says, look, Mulder, I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I should have believed you earlier that there was something in this.
Yeah.
And then they walk into the room and it's been cleaned. It's absolutely empty.
So he looks a bit nuts. And Scully, allows Scully to have enough doubt remain.
But then our friend Deep Throat shows up and says, they're starting to cover their tracks. And Mulder's like, well, why didn't you just tell me about this earlier? And he's like, oh, I didn't think that they'd be able to clean up this fast. It's just like, mate, you could have just told us about it.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense, that sort of stuff. I think, you know, when he's working for the higher-ups, I think it's clear that the higher-ups are, like, the production team of the TV show. I'm only allowed to spoon-feed you a little bit of information at a time. That's all they want me to do from upstairs.
It's these otherwise, damn writers. Otherwise,
it'll ruin the storyline.
These damn writers. So, and then from there, Mulder tracks down this bleeding man again, the guy that's been shot that's bleeding green, because it turns out that this Berube guy, and this is sort of told to him by Deep Throat as well, that he's got alien DNA and he's been injecting it into six people that volunteered because they had terminal illnesses, and this guy that's on the run is the only one that's been left alive because he got injected with the alien DNA. He recovered, but then he also gained like superhuman strength. He could breathe underwater, all this stuff. So the Black Ops people have cleaned all the other people. They've killed them all. But because this guy on the run was a friend of the doctor, he gave him enough time to run away. And that's why he's on the run.
Right. So they were going to take them all out.
Yeah. And that's why they're really keen to capture this last guy, because he's the only evidence that they've been injecting humans with alien DNA.
Okay. Have they learnt enough from it by now, do you think?
Well, Deep Throat says that they've been experimenting for decades, so it's just getting more and more.
Right.
And then, anyway...
The idea is to create... It's nearly always to create super soldiers, right?
Yep. Definitely. Pardon me.
What a bad idea. I mean, I assume that governments actually know this. That's a bad idea. You don't want to start that kind of arms race. How long do we last as a people when you're using, like, you're making superheroes? It's all over.
I know, but they're like, well, but if we're the only one with these super soldiers, we'll be in charge.
It's the same with the atomic bombs, I guess.
Yeah.
Very close for that being the end of the world. If, just have to one more bad decision.
Mm, well, the atomic clock... You know, it's like 1 minute to midnight or whatever. And, you know, when it gets midnight, that means there's an attack, so.
Cool.
Anyway, Mulder tracks down this man and he says to him, I'll protect you. And then the man gets shot immediately after that by the crew cut man, who's wearing a gas mask, because it turns out that this guy's blood is toxic.
Yeah, do we know that before this moment?
Well, we knew that because when the guy... on the run, he was actually in an ambulance for a while and they injected him with a needle, and then gas started exploding from within him, and the other people couldn't breathe and their eyes were burnt or whatever. And then we come back to Mulder and he's tied up by the crew cut man and his eyes are all red and he looks like he's having a horrible allergic reaction. And that's when, as we said at the start of the episode, the Deep Throat comes to Scully and says he's too high profile to kill, but I reckon we need some sort of bargaining chip to swap to save Mulder's life. And he gets her access to a facility that we assume is absolutely under lock and key that no one could get into, but because Deep Throat's highly connected, he gets her a pass and she gets in, and there's only one last door to get through at this secure facility. And the whole time she looks so suspicious. And the guy asks her for the password and she falters and then says, purity control. And she's allowed in.
Isn't that a funny, like, you don't think that would make him go, why is this woman so nervous? But he's just like, oh, she came up with it in the end. No worries. Yeah. Go grab your alien.
And then when she goes inside, she grabs like a little alien baby that's been suspended in dry ice. And what
if
did you think?
If she can get it, why can't the people that are using it as a bargaining chip get it? You know what I mean? Why can't the crew cut man just go get it himself?
Well, I think that, no, they want to keep it protected. They just want it back. They just don't want Scully to have it and expose them.
Gotcha.
What did you think of the alien when it was revealed?
Looked all right, didn't it? Was it not too good?
Oh, it was a little bit styrofoamy.
Yeah, right. I don't remember it being like, there have been a few things where it's like, oh, they would have been better off just not showing that at all. But because the props department hadn't quite caught up with the ideas. But the that one, I didn't, I'd have to look at it again.
It wasn't terrible, but I was just a bit like, wow.
Yeah. Some of these episodes I, you know, have been watching, you know, probably with one eye on the screen. So maybe they got away with stuff like that. I have, well, we're so close to the end of this episode. Should we finish it off? Because then I've got a good fact for you about how it finishes.
Okay, yeah, yeah, great, great. So somehow it's actually not explained. Scully's able to leave that tight lock facility under lock and key with the alien under her arm, we assume. Yeah. How is she? She's able to leave with it. She takes
it. Well, she knew two words to get in, so...
Purity control, baby. And then she meets up with the smoking... sorry, I keep confusing with the smoking man. With Deep Throat. And they make an exchange for Mulder's life. Mulder gets dumped out the back of a van, but after he hands over the alien, Deep Throat is shot to death in front of Scully.
Okay, so explain this to me. Why, if they were just going to kill the guy who was making the exchange, why bother giving... Mulder back at all?
Because he's too high profile.
Okay, so it's a too high profile thing. Deep Throat isn't. That was the dumb thing about Deep Throat. He never got his name out there.
That's right, exactly. No one even knows what his name is.
So the actor who we've just talked about, Jerry Harden,
yeah.
Apparently when he received, this is according to IMDb facts or trivia, when Jerry Harden received his copy of the script, it included a note on the front from Chris Carter, who created the series, saying, "No one really dies on the X-Files." Which is because he, in future seasons, he's in flashback scenes and that sort of stuff. So
yep.
The actor never really is killed off, which is, that's kind of a nice thing.
That is, I did not know that. That's really nice.
Yeah, there's another factor. It says, "This is the last appearance of Deep Throat alive. After this episode, he reappeared at separate occasions in flashbacks and dream sequences." Oh, I can't wait for some dream sequences.
Yeah, there's a few, sadly.
Oh, this is the first time in the series that we actually see an alien body. So maybe that's why it affected you, because it was like, and maybe why it should have affected me, because it's like, oh, this is what they look like, yeah, in this world.
Because I guess before that, even in the previous Deep Throat episode where he said, oh, I'm one of three people who's been tasked with killing an extraterrestrial. Mulder's right. Told that there's one in there, but by the time he gets to the place where it was, it's no longer there. So you're wondering, is he lying? Do these even exist? And now you're like, okay, they definitely exist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of like a twist almost.
Yeah, yeah. And as he lays dying, Scully stands over the Deep Throat guy, and his last words are, "Trust no one."
Yeah. Oh, great. That's helpful.
And can you believe that that becomes Fox Mulder's password?
Oh, really?
Computers. Trust NO1.
That's...
And I remember reading...
If he was good at security, you would know that he should be using different passwords,
Mix it up, few characters, letters, all that sort of stuff. But I remember reading that for a while that was a pretty popular password. You know, 1234, ABCD, and then trust no one.
That's funny. The skeptics who love the X-Files, they're real good at security.
Totally.
By all using the same password.
And then
at the end of this episode, do they close the X-Files?
Yeah, the final bit of that is there's a little, like, time goes by, a few weeks have gone by, and then Mulder calls Scully to tell her that the X-Files have been shut down. And then
right. It's
a bit like, whoa, what? No info is given. And then it just cuts to the smoking man, who's like the lead antagonist, who's been, looks like he's in control of all these sort of things. He's often in the meetings of high up people, like you were saying. It shows him with the alien body inside a room in the Pentagon, and he puts it back on the shelf and it zooms out and there's heaps of stuff, a bit like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But he's all that. It's not the first time we see that room at the Pentagon. He also puts in a little piece of metal in there as well earlier in the season that's been taken, an alien is placed inside someone's head or something
in their nose.
And it, in the very same way, slots it into this thing with a bunch of other ones. So you go, oh, this isn't the first of it. They've been doing this for ages.
Yeah.
And yeah, leaving, it's funny seeing the Pentagon's, like, you are here in the Pentagon side. Is how they show you that we're in the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's like an emergency fire exit plan, which I love that even in the most like secure place in the entire world is what they're trying to imply. There's like a map for how to get in or out.
Yeah, love that. Well, here's another one of those trivia points. This one's about the flask. It says the purity control sample Mulder finds in the lab and gives to Scully is actually an Erlenmeyer flask, hence the title. However, a flask for biological samples would have a screw cap closure, not a ground glass stopper like the prop shown. The latter type of stopper can't protect biological samples from contamination by environmental bacteria.
Oh.
They fucked up.
Oh, I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
That's such a great... I love that. Hope someone got fired for that. There's other, like, great facts, like... The fact that the lab is in Pandora Street is a clear reference of the myth of Pandora's box, where all humanity's evils were contained and then unleashed. That's a good little Easter egg for sure.
That is very...
This episode takes place from May 8th to May 26th, 1994. Another great fact.
Is there a list there? It says like how many people found this interesting, that fact?
Do you say, two from two.
Okay, that's pretty good. Because sometimes there's ones that are so bad, it's like one from 15 found this interesting.
This one got 22 of 46, and it is boring. Here we go. At 20 minutes and 51 seconds, the filmmakers perform a dolly zoom in-camera effect on Mulder. They're talking about a zoom effect that's used at a specific time.
I'm not going to lie to you. I remember thinking that was pretty cool.
Okay.
I'm on.
Well, that's fun.
I'd be a plus
You're
on that.
You're in the 21. You're in the 22.
I thought, how do they do that? It's when he walks into the abandoned factory, that Zeus refrigeration.
Have you paused?
Oh, no, I'm there.
Yes. Oh, no.
I thought you'd paused.
That was fun. I'm like,
I think...
You don't move. You're trying to, like, not release too much energy.
No, I just said something, and I don't know if you'd heard it or not. And I was like, did he say that, or is it 0 out of 1 people have found what I've said interesting?
Both. Both are true. Should we wrap up that? That's all. Wait, is there anything else you need to tell me about X-Files? I'm trying to think of other episodes I'd love to talk to you about because there's a lot of fun amongst it. I don't know what my favorite one is so far.
Where are you up to? In so I can just have a quick look at the list so I can.
I think I'm 3 or 4 into the second season.
Have you seen Sleepless yet? Where they can't sleep.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I like that one.
Is that one of your favorites?
Yeah, I just really remember it. I love that. I thought it was a really good one. But my favorite that you've seen so far is Blood. I really do like that one.
Yeah, Blood was great. That actor, the Blood guy, he was really good.
He was really good. But the one I'm really...
playing it so strange.
Oh, so good.
Such a strange performance. You're like, this is all a choice. But yeah, it's just odd.
The one I'm really looking forward to you seeing is episode 22 of this season, of season 2, which is F. Emasculata.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a bloody good one. I really liked it. But you liked another one I really liked from season 1, which is Darkness Falls, where they
that was a good one. Yeah.
People are cutting down wood in the forest, and then these little things are released.
Yeah, they're sort of like tiny little bugs, flies.
Yeah, and at night they
mummify
eat stuff.
You, basically.
Yeah.
They just suck your blood out and make you, basically almost mummify you. I liked that episode a lot. There were, like, a lot of these episodes, there's weird decisions in it. Like, they don't like the light, so when the sun comes up, you're safe. And there's a lot of, they're building up over the last night, they've run out of power. Or they're on their last little bit of gas for the generator.
Oh, for the generator, yeah.
So it's going to run out any minute. And so there's suspense is up. Are they going to make it through the night with this generator? And it runs out and the sun comes up. But they don't, like, as it runs out, I'm thinking, holy shit, this is, you know, what's going to happen here? But Mulder and Scully and the other guy just chilled, so chilled out. And then the sun comes up. I'm like, well, why didn't they make that a... Why didn't they build the suspense up there? It was all built up and then they... Yeah, it was a real strange way to do it, I thought. It was just sort of like a... You know? You want the big, you know, the big explosion of suspense, but yeah, they went a different direction. More like a flop.
Oh yeah.
No, we made it through. All right. Cool. Yes. But that was because they knew that they were gonna get done. There was still one more thing they had to get through, which they didn't, so whatever. Anyway, I'm liking the show enough.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty good.
I reckon stick with it until you don't like it anymore, or like any show. But I'm a big fan because I watched it. I mean, I still watch random episodes every now and then, and I rewatched this one when I really enjoyed it. I was like, yeah, I do love this show. But I watched them all through. It was probably 10 years ago now when I watched all of them.
Right.
But I mean,
so you were but a boy.
I was but a boy. Yes, I was watching them on DVD back then.
Right. So, it is interesting to think about. Sometimes there's got to be nostalgia wrapped up in it as well. And when you watch things younger, you forgive more stuff, maybe.
But I mean, at the time when it first came out, I was quite young, and I remember when it was probably at its peak in the mid 90s, I would know it as that scary show that I wasn't allowed to watch.
Right. 'Cause, you know, your parents watched it?
No, but I remember I had a babysitter a few times who was a big, big fan of it. And I think that maybe if I'd gone to bed, she'd watch it on TV. And this is my first memory of The X-Files is coming out and being like, oh, being told, no, you're not allowed to watch this.
Right. I can't remember anyone I knew watching it. Maybe I was too young when it was out and I just didn't know anyone in the right age bracket for it. My parents didn't watch it,
right?
So, yeah, but I'm glad I'm watching it now. It is good, and if people are in Australia, you can watch it for free on the SBS On Demand website, which is pretty cool. There's also a series about punk, documentary series Iggy Pop made about punk on there too, if people are keen on that sort of stuff.
Nice one.
Imagine that you can watch that around the world, but in Australia, you can watch it for free on SBS. Which is pretty cool. I think that SBS On Demand thing is awesome.
Yeah,
it's
really
got as much stuff as any of the like the paid streaming services.
Yeah, there's heaps and stuff from all around the world. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's almost like how does this exist? I'm like, you know, you feel like you've stumbled across this secret. But what do you give the show? We normally rate the media out of a bunch of bananas. However big your bunch is. How big do you buy when you buy a bunch of bananas?
Oh, am I ashamed to say that I usually only get two at a time?
No, there's no shame in that.
I don't really like, because I like bananas, but like, you know, I'll have half a banana on my, because I also have porridge for breakfast and I mix up the fruits. Sometimes I'll put a banana on it, you know, and I'll probably do that twice a week. So two.
Banana and porridge, great mix.
Great combo. So I would give it two out of two bananas.
Two out of two. And that's the series as a whole, or this episode, or both?
Both. I really enjoyed it. I thought that even though that it had been a while since I'd seen the mythology, I still got back into it. And it had the laughs. It had the sort of intriguing bits. So, yeah, I liked it.
It was a strong season closer as well. Apparently, on that trivia page, it also said that Fox, the network, were apprehensive about finishing the season with the X-Files closing because it might make the viewers think that was the end of the season or the series that had been cancelled. It was too neat of a finish when obviously they knew that it was coming back for another season.
I think even when
the way what do you think about how they open up the X-Files again in the second season? They've just done that now. That's
right.
What I'm up to.
I don't know if it's a spoiler to say, but they might get shut down again multiple times.
Yeah, right.
I think from that point on, Fox were like, well, it worked for that season finale. Why don't we do it for nearly every season finale?
Great. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's a real Nanny Fine, Mr. Sheffield, will they, won't they sort of scenario.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Will they, won't they shut down the X-Files? Ross and Rachel, will they, won't they? But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I don't think I'm quite enjoying it to the 100% mark that you've given it. I'd probably say out of my normal bunch of seven, I'd give it 5 bananas. Like, okay. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's pretty good, I reckon. Yeah,
that's a good place to go in and hang out in and check out. The other show I've been watching this week or the last week or so has been the TV version of High Fidelity.
Oh.
Just finished that last night as well. Have you seen any of that?
No, I didn't know they'd made a TV version.
Do you know the movie?
Yeah, I know the movie. Book? Yeah, and was it Nicholas Hornby?
Yeah, Nick Hornby. And yeah, I it's one of those shows where it's like the characters are so annoying. Same with the movie. It's like, you know, they're kind of a bit unlikable, the main character. And that's similar to but the show, I love the world and the music's great, and it's pretty enjoyable, but you're just like, you know, watching people just make so many mistakes. And the point is that they haven't figured it out yet, I guess. I guess that's the point. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're meant to be a hero who's doing everything right.
Ah.
I'm not sure. But it's Lenny Kravitz's daughter's the lead role.
Oh, that's cool.
And
I think the Kravitz family are trying to rival the Van Dyke family, I hear.
Yes, I think that might be the case. And she was on one of my favorite songs of 2018, I think. She guests on a Janelle Monáe track, which is a cracking tune.
Cool.
So she's got some skills.
Nice one.
Yeah. Don't know if there's any sort of well-known actors in it. There's one actor who reminds me a lot of Jack Druce, who's been on the show a bit before. You know Dave.
Yeah, I love him. Comedian. Great guy.
But his character, he's got a big Jack Druce type smile. He's just a nice guy character.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how Jack Druce is he? And then it's revealed that he's a rock climber, which is a Jack Druce hobby.
Yeah, that's like his big hobby. Yeah.
It's like someone has written Jack Druce into the show. Anyway, the last thing we've got to really do is go through a few Patreons. Would you be up for me reading out a few Patreon shout-outs to you, Dave?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So if people want to, they can support this show at patreon.com/dogoonpod, but you're also supporting Dave and my show Do Go On, as well as Dave's show Book Cheat, and also my show with my cousin Sam Listen Now, which is going to be coming back shortly, where we're going to be going through different band, different album every week this time.
Nice
last
one.
Last season, we went through the back catalogue of Cold Chisel. This time around, we're going to go through some different ones. I think the first week we're going to get people to vote on. We're going to put up, me and Sam are both going to put up suggestions for the vote, and they're going to be big 80s rock albums. I think Sam is suggesting Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses and Kick by NXS. I haven't thought of who my suggestions are going to be yet, but and then we're going to probably take a couple from listener suggestions as well. So yeah, that's going to be fun. Book Cheat, what was the most recent Book Cheat, Dave?
The most recent one was the episode that I did with you and Cass. Over two weeks we did Things Fall Apart by Nigerian author Chinua Achebe.
That was so good. I loved that. It was a real roller coaster. You made me feel all sorts of things. And it's funny, it's one of my favorite. The last two that I've done on that show, I think I've done four books with you on there, or four, one of them was a play, four pieces of art. And the last two I've loved. The first two were all right. Actually, they've all been good. I mean, they're all classics. But the last two, I'm like, I love these.
You've been into those?
I think maybe the first two I knew more about. Maybe that's why I didn't enjoy them as much, because I knew what the stories were. But this one was like, wow. What a roller coaster. Anyway, would highly recommend that. And this week's Do Go On, you told the story about the two dream teams.
That's right. One of which is famously called the Dream Team at the 1992 Olympics, when NBA players were allowed to compete for the first time in the basketball. The USA sent what's called the Dream Team, 11 of the greatest ever players, led by Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, Patrick
and
Ewing.
Crew Cut Mullins.
Yeah, that's right. Larry Bird, all these greats of the game. And then also at the same Olympics, Lithuania was sending their first team since 1928, because they'd only just become a country again after gaining independence from the USSR, and they were very talented, but they didn't have any money to send their players. And it's a real tale of two very different teams, both with a lot of success.
That's an amazing story. And there's been a bunch of people saying that it's one of their favorite episodes ever. Which people also said about the week before as well, which was about the North Pond Stranger. People have been saying we're in hot form lately.
Yeah, get on it. I reckon we're just going to keep rolling, hopefully.
So, yeah, definitely check those out if you're into interesting stories. A lot more structured than this show. This show is a lot of, and then what happened was, whereas the reports are all written out and well prepared for that. So check it out if you're keen on that sort of stuff. But one of the rewards for supporting those shows at patreon.com/dogoonpod is you get a shout out on this show, and you get to tell me about your favorite primate or anything really. And I don't read them until I'm reading them out. And then we all find out together what you said. So firstly, I'd love to thank Robert Farley for his support. He writes, "Hey guys, if you like monkeys that are not afraid to seek medical help, then you'll love Dr. Lucien Sanchez from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place."
Oh,
played by
yes.
Todd Rivers, who is in turn played by Matt Berry. Great show.
Very funny.
It's the kind of show that I'd love to re-watch for this, but I also feel like doing a comedy podcast about a comedy show that's already funnier than anything I've done, it sort of feels weird. It's like, what do you do? You just go, and then they said this funny thing that was this, which I do enough on this show anyway. Like I poorly told that that bit of Mulder dialogue before, but yeah, I found that when we did The Simpsons a bit, it was sort of, it's hard, you're sort of just recounting a thing that's better than you. So
yeah, and it is difficult to just do it justice because it's already very, very good.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah, other things, oh, I don't know. I never figured out what this show should really be. Maybe I will while it's on break. Anyway, Robert goes on to say, in the Apes of Wrath's episode, he's a gun-carrying, sharp-dressed, single-pierced-eared MD with attitude. And if this isn't enough for you, one of his colleagues throws her feces around. A wide range of facetious, if you will. I don't quite get what that is, but plus Richard Ayoade on a tricycle. Sayonara, simians. Fantastic suggestions for people who aren't familiar with Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. I think it's quite big in Australia and England. I wonder if it broke in America at all.
Yeah, it's great.
Worth looking it's up great. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think it might, for a while there, it was definitely all on YouTube. So.
Oh, right. That's cool.
So if you can, if it's still there and you can check it out, it's very, very funny. And it's, yeah, only 6 or 8 episodes and that's all they ever did, but it's very funny.
It's the British way with their comedies. They'll be here for a short time, not a long time. That's not the same. what a good time, not a long time. Grant Cheesewright writes, "I think my favorite primate would have to be that vest. See my vest made from real gorilla chest." Great Simpsons reference.
Love
Glad
that.
You were here for that one, Dave.
Love that. Love that.
That's from the 101 Dalmatians parody of The Simpsons. Where the scene where they mimic the movie scene where they're counting them. 1, 2, 3, and the time passes. 6 puppies. Very good stuff. Thank you so much, Grant. Ashley Dickinson writes, "I'm so glad my get fucked monkeys comment wasn't read on Erica Fleury's episode. I was just monkeying around. Apes are great, but still, go team people, the greatest apes." Ashley, you know.
Been hanging out with Evan.
You've been hanging out with Evan too much. That robot, you know, he's been programmed to love humans. You should be better, Ashley. We are apes. I feel proud that we're so closely related to chimps, bonobos, orangutans and gorillas, but you know, I think we're lucky to be in there. Sam Hanora writes, "Hi Matt and Evan, can you play the part of Evan, Dave?"
Hello. No, actually, sorry. Evan is. Oh, hey Matt.
Yeah,
that was better. Sorry, thank you.
That's a good Evan.
Need a bit of time.
"Hi Matt and Evan, my favorite primate that I don't think has been mentioned on the show is the DeBraza's monkey." Great one. Great suggestion. "They have such a distinctive shape compared to most primates, and in some of the pictures I found, their bodies look more like those of cats or birds of prey. Plus, you can't beat those sick white beards."
Wow, that sounds like quite a combo.
I'm just going to pull up a picture just to refresh my memory. Because I remember putting them up for the first Primate of the Year award, and they did not get many... They did not get many votes. Where is it? Dead browsers. Jeez, Google is not helping me here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're amazing. Dave, have you looked them up?
I'm trying to.
So, D-E space B-R-A-Z-Z-E-R. Holy moly.
Hang on, it said, did you mean desserts, monkey? Maybe. Oh, wow, these are amazing. Love that. Nice so one. Good choice. What a
yeah, the colouring of the brow and everything, amazing looking. Fantastic suggestion. Thank you so much, Sam. John Raines writes, Billy Gibbons, the guitarist of ZZ Top. Oh, that's their favourite primate. Very good. Gibbons in the name.
That's
is he a man parading as a monkey? A monkey parading as a man. Couldn't come up with a more natural name like person, human, man. What's really going on here? John, that is a great question. Billy Gibbons is clearly a gibbon in a man suit. Billy Gibbons. And he can shred. What a guitarist.
We're all thinking it.
Yeah. Tip, 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 tip. And we've got an episode of Do Go On that relates to ZZ Top coming up, or ZZ Top, as we say over here.
Yeah.
But he's not... The other two members of ZZ Top are in it. So Dusty Hill and... what's the other one called? Gary Beard. No, what's his first name? Anyway, something Beard.
Yeah, something Beard. John Beard? I don't know.
So we've got a series that launches in less than a week now, I think this Friday coming, on Stupid Old Channel on YouTube. We're doing a 9-part web series for Do Go On.
Yeah, that's right. Free to watch. And we're starting with, the tale. Are we allowed to say this? This is breaking news.
Well, this is an exclusive.
Explicit. With the story behind the Hollywood sign. And it's not as straightforward as one might think.
Yeah, that doesn't it? When you suggested that as a topic, I'm like, what could this actually be about? But it was really fascinating. Really fascinating. I loved it. And that episode was so fun to record.
So, yeah.
That might have even been the episode, we recorded it months and months ago, but that was the first time I think you talked about Dick Barry and Shane.
Yeah, that's right.
Van Dyke.
There's some good Dick Barry and Shane chat on that episode.
So I highly recommend go subscribe to that that YouTube channel if you haven't already. There's also Evan shows on there, Gamey Game, and lots of other stuff. Sketches that I've done from the last 10 years, I think, are on there, maybe. Thank you so much, John, for your Billy Gibbons suggestion. Timothy Bengow writes, G'day, hope you're well. I really like the proboscis monkey, which we call the dick nose monkey on this show. They always look mildly disappointed. Like they've just dropped their ice cream. The mild defeat of existence. Anyway, have a good one. Shuckers. Shuckers emoji. Thanks, Timothy. I guess, I mean, they do have a dick on their face. Does that make you sort of defeated or like a winner? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Another amazing... They look like another Jim Henson creation. They are fantastic. I forget how great they look. And then the full body shot, just the sort of the grey, they start quite yellow fur at the top and then go into grey down low. They are amazing. Fantastic. What a great suggestion. Thanks for bringing them back to my attention, Timothy. Love the proboscis monkey. It's going to be weird having a time where I'm not going to be looking at a different funny monkey every week. Based on listener suggestions.
Put in your calendar, you can do it. Or get random monkey generator of the app.
I should get that. If it doesn't exist, I should invent that.
Yeah.
And finally, Jenna Schaefer. I've had to do a few more because we've got a bunch to get through over the last few weeks, Dave. So finally, Jenna Schaefer. My favorite primate is Captain Huggy Face. alias Bob.
Sorry,
superhero
what?
Superhero from the kids show Word Girl. Jenna, you're not allowed... Well, I mean, you are allowed to make things up, but you've definitely made this up. Captain Huggy Face from the show Word Girl.
What?
He's the put-upon sidekick with no powers, except for the officially listed power of being able to eat anything. My little brother loved this show, and the lovable yet sassy Captain Huggy Face helped it helped make it fun to watch for older kids too. Captain Huggy Face.
I'm looking at him. Anything, he's got Dave? A sweet outfit. Yeah, great.
So he is real.
Great outfit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great outfit. Using the primary colours nicely there.
Yeah, got red a helmet, for protection, safety first.
Lightning bolt yellow on the jumper, red pants, yellow belt, blue top. Fantastic work. All right. Well done, Captain Huggy Face. You've won me over.
Well done.
And thanks, Jenna, for the heads up there. So that brings us to the end of the episode, Dave. Thanks so much for joining us here on this morning, although now it is in the PM.
We did it. We made it to lunchtime. Yes.
We did it. I'm going to have a nap. So where can people find you? They can obviously find you on BookCheat, which we've mentioned. There'll be links to that in the show notes. Also, your pie-focused Instagram account.
Yeah, that's right. I don't post that much, maybe only once or twice a month. But if you want to see a photo of me eating a pie in a different location, you can follow me on Instagram.
And your Twitter is very amusing as well.
Ah, oh, thank you
so
kindly.
So people should follow you on there. But I'll put links in the show notes. Find us at Primates Pod if you want to. Only a couple more episodes now before we go on a break. Follow me for other things at Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram and Facebook, and Matt_Stew_Art on Twitter. This episode possibly will be up on YouTube if you want to watch me and Dave, being very animated in this episode. You can do that at youtube.com/Matt Stewart. You can also find other interviews that I've done on there, on this little series that's been called Matt Chat, or Getting Chatty with Matty. Dave was on the first episode. Evan's been on there as well.
Oh, and you grilled me. You grilled me. I cried.
Yeah. It was an emotional
off air afterwards. Afterwards I cried, but
then, yeah, we made up, so yeah, I was just trying to, you know, get it out of you.
Who are you really, Dave?
Who
do you work for? So check all those links out in the show notes. I'm doing cameos still. I did a couple this week. They're sort of coming in every now and then, where I get to, basically there's a website where you can pay $20 and I'll say whatever you want on a video message. They're often birthday messages for loved ones, but I've also had one where I told apologized to a mum for a dog coughing up a condom. And there's been... I mean, I'll be up for anything, really.
That's brilliant. That really
is. So, and then the mum got me to reply by asking him to move out. Asking the son to move out, which is funny.
Do you know what the latest is on that?
I haven't heard anything. They haven't got back to me about it, unfortunately. But I'd love to get an update if you are listening.
Hope the dogs are right as well.
Well, who gets the dog in that split? I'll say whatever you like. I normally try and make it a bit of fun. A few facts in there, throw in a couple of facts. I'll break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend if you need to, if you don't have the guts, or propose to them. I'd enjoy that even more. Although, ideally, you'd probably do those sort of things yourself. But just saying, here if you need. So, until next week, thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being involved, Dave. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
trust no one.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.